Anyways, tonight we have Karina, who's had an amazing experience out of Kelowna, British Columbia here back in July 31st, 2003 with a good friend of hers. I guess you would say it was frightening. Some of the results that came out of the sighting and or the experience, very dramatic mental condition and so forth. So anyways, I'd like to welcome Karina, and she's going to relay a story to us and give us an update, and we'll see if we go from there.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. And yourself?
Good, thank you.
Great.
Good.
Well, I guess you had yourself more than experience. I mean, you've had a lot of experiences, over the years, but this year on July 31st, 2003 seemed to take the cake. I'm blown away from, some of the things that came out of it, so it was pretty amazing. And just for a note here too, I'd like to put in before we get into it. There was a lot of sightings that were led up to this one experience that Karina and her friend went through. Started actually just before the 25th of July, I believe. Many sightings started rolling, and some pretty fantastic sightings. And then we got up to the 28th, where there was roughly 200 witnesses to one main event, which ran through that area also, where Karina had hers. Anyways, right after this one on the 28th, came to July 31st, and Karina, you can take it from there and tell us what happened with you and your friend.
Sure. July 31st, a girlfriend of mine had come up from Abbotsford to visit for a few days, and to make the long story short, we were looking at some rentals on the internet, and it was around midnight. It was, about 5 minutes to midnight, and she was leaving the next morning, and she said to me, just quite suddenly, why don't we go stargazing? And I looked at her, and I said, well, I'm quite tired. It's very late. I said, can't we do that the next time you're out? Oh, no, she said, come on. She said, let's just go. And I thought, well, okay, what the heck, we'll go. But I didn't really know where to go stargazing because I just recently moved myself to Kelowna, and I didn't know where to go to do any good stargazing. So we got into the car at about midnight. We left my apartment building, and I found myself driving along one of the back roads to go to Vernon.
Okay.
And I had never gone up that area before, so I didn't really know what was out there. We started driving. It's a Thursday night, midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, geez, there's a lot of traffic. And I just finished saying to her as we were driving, I don't think we're going to be able to get any stargazing done on this road. I said, look at all the traffic.
Right.
Then I don't know what happened, but I mean, it seemed like within 3 minutes of saying this, there was absolutely nothing. Not one set of headlights. There was no moon that night that I can remember. There were no street lights. I mean, this is out in the country beside the landfill, and there's just nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, oh, well, okay, all of a sudden it's quiet and it seems very dark out here.
Right.
Why don't we just pull off on the side of the road? So I pulled over to the side of the road, and she got out of her side with the binoculars and started looking up right away at the stars. And because of the time of year it was and the recent sightings that they'd had with bears and cougars, I had brought my 1.5 million candlelight,
mm-hmm.
which I can plug into the lighter just to make sure there were no animals around.
Right, yes, good idea.
So anyway, I plugged the light in, and I got out of the car, and right away she said to me, so it was within 2 minutes of being out of the car, if that, she said, geez, there's three lights up here in a triangular formation moving together. It looks like three stars. And she said, well, stars don't move like that. I said, of course not. I said, no, it must be, a plane or something that you're seeing. She said, no. She said, it's three stars moving in a triangular formation. And then right away she said, oh, wait a minute. She said, it just changed. I said, what do you mean it changed? She said, well, it's a green, neon, green-colored thing that's up there, she said.
Right.
And I said, well, what does it look like? She said, well, it looks like an oval, like an egg shape. Oh, she says, no, it looks circular. But the color remains like a bright neon green.
Right, right.
At that point, around that point, what I did is I turned on my light, looking down ahead of us, down the road to the left,
mm-hmm.
and about 45 feet in front of us. And no matter how many times I talk about this, it's always hard for me still to this day.
I can't believe it.
there were some sets of eyeballs looking at us.
Right.
One was by himself, away from the other four.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened, but it was almost like it was a telepathic thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like he knew what I was thinking. I knew what they were thinking. I panicked. My first thought was, it's got to be animals or something.
Right.
And then when reality checked in, I went, oh, my God. And I remember frantically trying to get back closer to the vehicle to open my car door, but it was like moving through quicksand.
Mm-hmm.
And in slow motion. And every time I would try and grab at my door handle, it was like I had no strength in my hand, and it would slip off the door handle. And I would be getting more and more panicky. I mean, I could barely breathe by this time. I was trying to scream at my friend to get back in the vehicle,
mm-hmm.
but my voice would hardly come out. The next thing I know, we're both scrambling into the vehicle. We're sitting down. By this time, we're pretty freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm trying to get the vehicle started. It won't start. But yet, all the lights are going on and off, and things are just going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I neglected to mention was that through those few seconds or minutes that this was happening, quite suddenly, all the coyotes in the neighborhood, and it sounded like there was a lot of them. It sounded like as if we were surrounded by coyotes. They just went crazy. The dogs in the neighborhood, I guess in some farms or something, were barking like crazy. And then this cold, musty, smelling air came down, and we both noticed it at the same time. And it was after that, when I flashed on the light, that we saw them. But we got back into the car. Finally, I turned on the ignition again, and it finally did start. When it started, I quickly did a U-ey across the road.
Right.
At this point, there were no headlights, no cars, no eyeballs. I don't know what happened. I don't know where these things were. So we just started heading back to town. I was speeding back into town, and all of a sudden she screamed. She said, "Stop the car, stop the car." And I pulled over and I said, "What?" I said, I don't want to stop now. What is it?" And she said, "Well, look at the clock." And I was getting angry. I said, "Why do you make me stop to know what time it is?" You know, I couldn't understand what she was getting at. And she said, "Look, we got here at probably 7 minutes, maybe 5 minutes after midnight, because it takes about 7 minutes to get to that point from my place."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "You know, it's just after one." She said, "There is no way that we were out there for an hour. Forget it. It's impossible."
That's right, because when you guys, both of you ladies jumped out of the car,
right.
I mean, everything took place right away.
Yeah.
And then something else, you know, is sitting here listening to this, and of course I've heard it a lot of times, and you know, you start thinking about it and think about different things to ask and whatnot.
Yeah.
But you know, what's interesting, just to back up a little bit too, is when you guys were heading out to this area, there was a lot of traffic on the road.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden everything seemed to die down. In other words, hey, nothing's happening. You know, is it possible? I mean, I'm not asking a question, sort of, because I don't know, and you, I'm sure you don't know either, and nobody knows. But it's funny that everything sort of came. There was nothing. So in other words, and then, like you said, you felt like you're going through this quicksand, and everything sort of slowed down.
Yes.
Is it a possibility that the whole event, the whole area you were in, was slowed down? In other words, there was no traffic coming. You know, that you're aware of. I mean, and it sounds pretty weird.
Well, believe me,
you know, but
we thought of every scenario possible.
I bet you did.
We were trying to explain this in an earthly fashion, in
right.
a logical fashion.
Exactly.
So,
and it's hard to come up with an answer.
Yes.
It really is.
Yes, it was.
I bet. Mm-hmm. But you know, and even back, you know, when you guys, like you said, you went, you know, heading back to town, you know, or back to your home, when
yes.
you turned, did you turn and you felt like you were zapped? This zapping, there's like it's raining up here?
No, it was more when I expressed how I was feeling when we got this this time thing. She was asking about the time.
Mm-hmm.
I also mentioned to her, I said, look, I want to get out of here. I'm feeling very strange.
Right.
I feel like I'm electrified, like every hair on my body standing up, like I've gone through a wall of electricity or something.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I know it sounds strange. And then she said, oh my God, she said, I was feeling the same way, but I was scared to think that you were going to think I was crazy.
Yeah.
I said, look, after what happened, I said, I think we're both crazy.
Right.
You know, we just didn't know what. And then when we got closer to my home, and she said to me, we were not even half a block away from my apartment building. She said, Karina, look out your window. And I went, oh no. And I looked, and sure enough, the green object was in the sky. It
mm-hmm.
had, I guess, followed us. So I said, well, I'm not taking this thing home. There's no way, because my daughter's at home. And, you know, if it followed us, I don't want my daughter hurt. I know it sounds silly, but that's what my thoughts were.
Understandable. You're a parent. You're a mom.
So,
you know what's happened in the past.
Yeah.
So
we just drove, I guess, almost a block down further, and I pulled off onto a side road. And we had the windows, I believe, rolled down or something. Anyway, I looked at the thing. I said, you know, I said, this is ridiculous. I said, I will not accept this. This is not happening. I said, all this is a helicopter or a plane or something. But I said, it's nothing else than that.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, I don't hear anything. I don't hear like a whoop whoop sound from
right.
a helicopter. I don't,
right.
you know. And she said, there's no way that a plane would sit still and hover like that.
Right.
So.
And most definitely, with windows rolled down, if you think you had them done, you
yeah.
certainly would have heard
yeah.
the sound of a rotor blades turning at a low altitude.
Well, you know, it's a while ago, but at one point, the main things still do remain in my mind, because I have not had any form of hypnotherapy
mm-hmm.
for anything that I'm remembering. I'm remembering because I remember it.
Right.
So the next thought is, I think myself, she said, oh, look, it's going away. She said, see, it probably wasn't anything like that. She said, it was just a plane.
Right.
And I think it was myself. I said, well, let's see. And I pulled out the million and a half candlelight and flashed it two or three times
mm-hmm.
towards its direction. And it just stopped on a dime, and I thought, oh my God, what have I done? That was my instant thought in my mind.
Yeah.
And it was instantly, just that fast. Just that fast. It was back, and it was hovering above our vehicle.
Right.
Now, granted, it was a ways up, but you could still see it, and it was definitely up above the vehicle area.
Did it and this is still this neon green color?
Yes, it is.
Did it give off any of that color, so it sort of lit up the area of the vehicle, anything like that?
No, not that I could see at that point.
Okay.
Like I say, it was a ways up there, but
mm-hmm.
Definitely big enough that you could see the color, you could see the shape.
Right.
You know, there was no sound or anything like that. At that point, I said, oh my God, I said, that's it. I said, we've got to get out of here. And I drove down the rest of the road, and I turned up another road, which takes you up into just a bunch of orchards. And
mm-hmm.
there's not normally no lights up there, and pretty dark. And I thought, well, we'll just go and hide in there. They'll never find us in here.
Right.
You know, not knowing what we're dealing with.
Right.
And I just parked the car, and I was so upset from all that had happened. I kind of rested my forehead on my arms on my steering wheel. So I was with my eyes closed, looking
mm-hmm.
down. And at one point, I felt her tugging at my sleeve, and I said, "What is it?" She said, "Look through the front windshield." And I said, "No, I don't want to hear it." She said, "You have to look through the front windshield. Look up." So I did. And no, it wasn't one green object. There were three of them.
Right, okay.
And they were in a triangular formation.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Now, when you looked on, you'd be able to see the three and not the one.
Yeah.
Now, do you believe it was, I don't know if you could see it or not, a structure, one structured object, or maybe three separate?
They were individual.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect, okay.
To me, they felt, I saw individual.
Okay.
I believe she did as well. As soon as I had looked, maybe, a few seconds later, one shot off over the mountains into the States area. So it went, south, southwest or something.
Okay.
And then another one shot off in another direction, and the one just stayed there. And I said, we can't stay here all night. I've had enough of this cat and mouse game. I said, I'm going home.
Yeah.
Enough is enough.
Good idea.
And I came home, checked on my daughter right away. She was sound asleep, and went and sat at the kitchen table. And I said, we've got to figure this out. I said, there's got to be a reasonable, logical explanation. Just totally scientific or whatever.
Yeah.
This can't be. Both of us decided we were too tired and feeling kind of sick to discuss it, so mm-hmm. we just went to bed.
Right.
I was the first one to get up in the morning. I got up, made myself some tea or coffee, sat down at the table. I was feeling like throwing up. I had noticed a huge, large, circular bluey, purpley mark on my left breast, on mm-hmm. the side of my chest, and I also had a bruise like that on the bottom right foot,
okay.
on the flat part. So whatever I did, it looked like I had been fighting somebody.
Got you, okay.
So I felt like throwing up. I was very dehydrated, felt a little disoriented, but didn't really want to think about anything, what happened the night before. She got up a couple of minutes later, and as she's walking down the hall towards me, she just entered the kitchen, and she said, I really don't feel well this morning. And I said, well, it's a good thing you're going home. You can go see your doctor. Maybe you're coming down with the flu.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was it. At that moment, her right nostril didn't start just dripping. It was almost gushing out blood. It was ridiculous. I went, oh my God, you're bleeding. And I had to grab a towel and just put it up under her nose because it was getting all over everywhere, right?
Right.
It was so much blood. And I said, I think you better sit down. She said, no. She said, I'm going to go have a shower. She says, I'll feel better. She says, I'll just put my head back and stand in the shower for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she went and had a shower. My daughter, meanwhile, gets up and says, oh, Mommy, she says, I really don't feel good this morning. She says, I don't know, maybe I got a cold or something starting, because she says, my nose, feels kind of stuffed up and
right.
stuff. Well, if I know this is going to sound crazy, but her right nostril starts bleeding the same way that my girlfriend's nose just finished
right.
doing.
Okay.
So I grabbed her a towel, and I said, I think you better sit down. I said, it's just a little nosebleed, and it will pass. I tried to pacify her because I didn't want her panicking. At this point, she didn't know what had happened to us the night before, right? So then my girlfriend came out of the bathroom a few minutes later, and she said, my nose has stopped bleeding now. That's better. But she says, wow, she says, I sure have some really bad pain down my lower back, quite low. She says, so it's kind of embarrassing to me, but I need you to check to see what's
right.
there. And, of course, as soon as I saw the mark, I knew what it was, because I'd had marks like that before
right.
in my life, except mine were a perfect triangular shape.
Right.
Hers was a perfect round circle. It was bigger than a toonie, and it was at the very bottom of her spine on her back. There was literally a radiation-type burn.
Yes, and just
on
so
her body.
That's right. And just so the people who are listening to this, there are photos that I have on my site. Do you have them on yours too, Karina?
Yes, I believe I do.
So they're on Karina's site also. So, there's pictures there you can look at and look at this burn of what sort, because actually your friend eventually did go back to the doctor and
yes.
He said it appeared to be.
Yeah. Yes, when as soon as she got back to the Fraser Valley, she went to see her doctor, and her doctor did use those exact words. He said, if I didn't know any better, I would say that you have yourself a radiation burn.
Right.
But that's silly. How could that be?
Mm-hmm.
And,
exactly.
Well, of course, she didn't say anything. You know, she just...
What can you say? I mean, what do you say to that? I mean,
yeah,
I wasn't anything near anything to, you know, for that to happen. You know, a burn, where would I got that from? I'm sure you would have backed into something or whatever. You would have known. You would have been jumping. Somebody would have been jumping. So you would have known, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No question about it. I mean, that's really, really weird. To me, that is totally strange. And now, you know, and your daughter to have the same thing happen too. Or not the burn, but I mean with the nosebleed.
Yeah.
That's unusual. I mean, now we got you got the three of them in the mix here. But now, if you want to continue on what happened there, because I don't know how much you got to go, but I want to get to, you know, your friend too, a little bit of, you know, how things are going on there and whatnot too.
For a little while, we stuck together like glue.
Mm-hmm.
And we even seemed to be afraid at one point of being apart almost.
Mm-hmm.
So we spent a lot of time together when she came back to Kelowna. But after a few months, for some reason, we just lost touch. And haven't spoken for at least a year now.
Oh.
And from what I hear, she has moved back to the Fraser Valley.
And I mean, you guys were good friends.
We weren't very close friends.
Mm-hmm.
I was more friends with her mother.
Okay.
And I had seen her and spent, you know, a few times with her, three or four times with her in the Fraser Valley, stargazing or talking with her at her mom and dad's place.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay. Okay, so now, there's a lot of other things that have taken place, personally to yourself. I mean, the family. I mean, I understand that your son is, he doesn't live there in Kelowna.
No.
It's elsewhere, and he likes to come home, of course, to see his mom.
Yes.
But he sometimes is afraid to.
I'm starting to begin. I'm beginning to think that yes, he does have some fear. He's kind of torn. He really wants to visit with me, but three times now he's talked about coming up, and he's actually canceled. My personal opinion is that it is due to what happened to him the last time he visited. He lives in Vancouver area.
Right.
He's 21 now, and you know, very good kid, not into drugs or drinking or anything like that. He's got a steady job. I mean, he's got a good head on his shoulders,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I don't know. He hadn't seen me for a long time, and he decided to come up and visit me in 2002, just before I had surgery. And he wasn't here. He was just here one night. And the morning after he got up, he was on his way to the shower. And I said to him, oh, wait a minute, because he just had some shorts on.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, there's something on your back. And he says, well, it feels kind of weird back there. But he said, I couldn't reach it. And when I walked up to him and saw what I saw, I was just, I mean, the tears were just, I couldn't help it.
Absolutely.
And he said, Mom, what's wrong? And I said, oh, my God. I said, I don't believe this. And I took him to the bathroom, and I took a second mirror, and I showed it to him. I said, look at this. Now, first of all, my son sleeps on his stomach.
Right.
He always has.
Mm-hmm.
This mark was on his back. It was 4x4x4, perfect triangular mark.
Mm-hmm.
It had ranging from 1 all the way down to 6, so 1, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, down to 6 circular radiation burns within the triangular mark.
Right.
And it was just there on his back.
I'm looking at the photos right now.
Exactly.
It's almost located, not quite in the center, closer to say the tailbone area, but I mean up, say, you know, close to the middle, and it's just it's almost on your running down your spine, just off to the say in the right hand side.
Right.
It moved over a little bit to the right. That's very distinct triangle, no question about it, and the marks inside very distinct. Can't miss them. Did this ever clear up eventually? Or has he stayed with him?
It did heal up. Mm-hmm. They always do. It takes a while, but they do heal up. We were determined, him and I were determined that we were going to have this documented and that we were going to have a doctor look at it. We weren't going to just let it go.
Right, yeah.
So we took pictures, and then when we, you know, when we both finally calmed down enough, like he was trying to, you know, kind of say, it's okay, Mom, you know, like,
right.
It doesn't hurt, you know, it's okay. He was trying to pacify me. I was trying to pacify him.
Yeah, I understand.
We went out onto the balcony, and, you know, I said, come on, let's just sit outside for a minute and sit, you know, and get some fresh air. And he said, sure. So we went and stood out on the balcony, and oh my God, you know, we looked like this building, it was almost brand new at the time
mm-hmm.
when I moved in here. And they had planted, one, two, three, well, some brand new green little trees out back.
Right.
And they were all bright green and very healthy and young trees. Now, as we stepped outside on the balcony and looked towards the back there, the bedroom where he had been sleeping all night, there was a tree that is right in line with that window. All the leaves on that tree were yellow.
Yes, and I have the picture in front of me too.
Yes.
So, yep, I can definitely see it.
Yes, I
took
pictures of that as
and
well.
And that, I mean, that was a perfectly, like I said, healthy green tree.
Yes.
The night your son went to bed.
Yes.
And the next day, of course, woke up. You guys went on a battery.
All the other trees seemed fine.
That's right. So there we go. We got some more evidence. You also had, I believe your son had a hole in his, basically in his down.
That's another incident.
I know.
The poor guy when he was 9 years old. Yeah.
And that was, I mean, that wasn't little. I mean, you probably stick your pinky finger in there, I think.
Yes, I could. That was very gross. That was really disgusting. It was very frightening, terrifying for him.
Oh, gosh.
We never did get a straight answer from the doctor.
Never did, eh?
By the way, we did go to the walk-in clinic with him with the triangular mark,
right.
With the burn mark. She kind of smirked, and the first thing she said was, looked at him and said, what kind of toys do you bring to bed?
Shh.
Kind of attitude.
Well,
and he said, now listen, he said, I'm 21 years old. I'm not 8 years old anymore.
Yeah, well, this is the kind of help that a person goes for, you know, you go for this kind of help.
That's
and
right.
This is what you get from people. And it's no wonder why people who are going through these experiences, as yourself and your family and others, well, you know, they're so afraid to do something, so afraid to open up their mouth and they sit there and they deal with it themselves.
That's it,
to deal with it. Because some of the people actually go nuts, you know, and it's really sad that this does take place.
Well, see, she was frustrated because she looked at me at one point, she said, look, I know of no medical thing that can create a perfect geometrical mark like this. I've never seen this in my life.
My God.
Okay. So anyway, we came home, but sorry, I went off track.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right.
But, you know, I feel so bad for him because they've been very busy with him at different times in his life. When he was 9 and we lived in the Fraser Valley, we had a huge sighting of a triangular, boomerang-shaped ship one night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was around that time that my son woke up screaming, and I woke up in the morning with his screaming. It's that kind of like that blood-curling scream
that a
child has, and you know, oh my God, something's really wrong.
Yes.
And when I got to his room, his back was arched, and he was just, you know, trying to breathe because he was in so much pain. He had a hard time breathing.
Right.
And, of course, I tried to settle him down, and he was able, between the gasps, to say, my back, my back. And I turned him around, and I'm telling you, it took everything inside of me as a mother to not lose it and to not scream myself. It was horrible.
I can imagine.
Literally had a hole in his spine, just beside his spine. And, I mean, what really got me is I could see the inside, but it wasn't bleeding. There wasn't 1 ounce of blood on his sheets, not anywhere on his body. There was nothing.
And the doctors, and of course, you went to the doctor.
Of course, right away.
We got the photographs here.
Yeah.
You got them.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it, and there's one heck of a scar.
Oh, he's got quite a scar.
And this is getting pretty low in his back.
Yeah.
Really low.
Now, since that time, he's had pains off and on in his spinal area. So I don't know what was done, what happened to him.
Exactly.
But again, we were basically almost laughed out of the office, you know. Well, and then there was that also that look, you know, like, are you beating your children? He didn't say it, but I got the look.
Yeah,
and I thought, oh my God, where are we going to get some help? What am I going to do to help my children?
How can anybody walk into an office with their son like that with a hole in his back, which you can obviously see something like that in the photograph, and they come out and they, you know, they're starting to wonder what's going on. I mean, didn't they give you any kind of indication like what was caused, although they didn't know, you know?
Well, I'll tell you, my son, as young as he was, when the doctor finally said, he looked at both of us and he said, you know, he said, I'm going to tell you exactly what I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I think your son has chicken pox. My son and I looked at each other. He looked at the doctor, and as young as he was, he said, you've got to be kidding.
Yeah.
And I've always brought up my children to be polite and
mm-hmm.
so on. So this was very unusual for my son to just come out and say something like that to an adult.
Because they were dumbfounded. They didn't know what the heck would have made that. How did that come up? I mean, that's something like this just doesn't materialize out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't know. They honestly didn't have a clue. So they grabbed for something. That's my thoughts on it. And it came up with something, give you something. Hey, this is what happened. Maybe it'll make you feel better. Not really.
He gave us some antibiotic cream and dressings that I had to change three times a day, every day, and some antibiotics by mouth. It took us 3 months to get that thing to close up.
My God.
I don't know why it took so long to heal up.
I can see why. I can see why, Karina. It's a huge, it was a huge hole.
It was big, yeah.
And it went down to how deep do you think it actually went?
I don't know, but I could see white stuff. Now, I don't know if that was bone or nerve endings or what it was, but I...
Right, so we'll leave that one. God,
At that time, I wasn't in a financial position to own the camera that like I do now.
Right.
I didn't have a camera, so I wasn't able to take a picture of it when it was open.
Right.
But I have taken pictures of it with the scar healed up now, which I think you can see on the pictures that I sent to your website.
Yep, you betcha. And I think we got them on your site, too.
Oh, okay.
I think they're. If they're not, we're going to put them up. I'll put them up with this other stuff. But anyways, what you do is you have, I believe your son is just laying down for you here on his tummy, and you have your finger pointing to the scar, which is a good size, and you also have a little pointer.
Yeah.
So just so you can see, there's no question about it. There's something obviously traumatic happened there. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very sad. Actually, there's a blow up. There's a blow up of it too. So it gives you a really good shot of, you know, the actual scar. Amazing, just amazing. And I just can't. Medical people, you know, you don't guess at something like this.
No.
Personally, I'd want to know too. I mean, I'm a parent. I want to know where this stuff, what's causing this. You know.
Yeah.
That's hard. What do you tell them? You know, visitors are doing this, or this is an experience. I know it's tough because they'll think you're crazy.
Yeah.
And then he won't take you serious.
That's
but
right.
it's not right either. I know there is some doctors around, very few, that are at least open-minded enough to listen.
Yeah.
Maybe relate. At least they're giving you on a little bit of a different playing field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give you some different ideas or whatever. I don't know. But coming up with a stupid, as far as I'm concerned, a stupid answer they gave you is utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
Really ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyways, now.